Okay, good vach, everybody. The MS is, it's very, very special to be here. I mean that, me'amkus alev, to be here to celebrate Chloe's birthday. Wait, what number birthday is this? 21? But your birthday, it's tremendous. Chloe's birthday is Chaf Alef Adar. Chaf Alef is 21, so when you turn 21, Chaf Alef Adar. That's something very, very special. And 21 is Gematria Ehaya, Aleph Hey Yud Hey. Ehaya is the name of Hashem that represents tshuva and growth. Ehaya is I want to be. So it's a big year, 21. And Emesh is Chloe is somebody who wants to be, who always wants to grow. I was thinking about it on the way here. You know, first of all, it's just an incredible chizik as a Rebbe to be asked to come to give a shir to celebrate a birthday. So we had this, what's incredible even more so tonight, so over the years I've done that at times in different people's homes. I'm pretty sure this is the first time and there's something very special. See, Chloe a year ago invited me over and we were together to celebrate her 20th birthday. And now to be able to come back and again be together is something very, very special. To begin with, even one time, to decide that the way you want to celebrate your birthday is to bring your friends together and not just eat and hang out and maybe, I don't know, have some activity. But we want to learn together. We want to grow together. I want my friends to learn. I want the schus of my birthday to be Torah and Ruchnius and Kedusha. That itself says a tremendous amount about Chloe. But a lot of times it's like this concept, you know, like a one-hit wonder. So I'll do something once. And, you know, how many times do we take upon ourselves the Kabbalah to improve in a way, to grow in a way, and it happens like one time and then we forget. And it's hard to continue. But to be able to have 2 years in a row, again, to come back together, to learn Torah together. To me, the second time is even bigger than the first. It says it's something very real and something very strong. And it's amazing. That's who Chloe is. You know, I was thinking about it as well. The MS is, I feel like I know Chloe forever. But it was really this year that we got very close. Really, like, I got to know Chloe only like a little bit before her birthday last year. It was when I started to get to know Chloe through Shurim and through different discussions. At that point, when you invited me last year, we hardly knew each other. That's the truth. I can say it as it is, because now I feel very close to Chloe. So I can say it as it is. You know, and... But that's also an amazing thing, because in one year, I feel like I know you her life, and that's incredible and something very special. But also, I could say, you know, the godless of a birthday. I think I might have mentioned this last year. What's very special about a birthday is that it's ischadshus. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning to take upon myself to be a different person and to grow and to improve. And we always need those fresh starts in a certain sense. And a birthday is that fresh start. It's chachas, a new beginning. And sometimes, like I said before, we take those new beginnings and very quickly they become old. And very quickly I'm the same person. And I could say, because knowing Chloe throughout this year, it's been an incredible year of growth in very, very special ways, in very, very deep ways. And may Hashem, this upcoming year should be again. Just continue to grow. It should be a year of simcha, a year of big simchas, Bez Hashem. A year of brachas. A year for you and for your entire family should just always have clarity and simcha in every single part of your life, every chelik of your life, in alamakam, in alchavero, and together, all of us, the entire chevra. If Chloe invited the chevra to be together for her birthday, to grow and to learn, so we should all, Bez Hashem, have just simcha and bracha from this point on. This morning in shul, we read Parshas Parah. After the regular laning of Shmini, so we read Parshas Parah, the third of the Dalet Parshios, which Shkolim, Zachar, and Apara, about the Parah Aduma, being Metar oneself, purifying oneself. And next week, Amir Tashem, this upcoming Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, will be Parshas HaChodesh, which is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, which started Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which that will be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That was the first time Bnei Yisrael was given this first mitzvah that was given to Bnei Yisrael, teaching them the schachas, a new beginning. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We're going to celebrate that and read Parshas HaChodesh next week. The Yerushalmi Megillah asks, that it should be flipped. First should be Parshas Chodesh, and then should be Parshas Paro. Why? In the year that we left Mitzrayim, when we were given the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, which was Aleph Nisan, it was on Beis Nisan that we brought the Parah Aduma. So what came first? Rosh Chodesh came first, and then the Parah Aduma. The first Parah Aduma was brought on Beis Nisan. So why is it that we have Parshas Parah and then Parshas Achodesh? We should really have Parshas Achodesh, which came first on Aleph Nisan, and then Parshas Parah, Parah Aduma, which was on Beis Nisan. So Shami explains something, which if all we had to learn tonight was this idea, it's well worth it. Paraduma represents Tahara. Paraduma represents purity. It represents me makadish myself, making myself holy. Leaving whatever state of tuma I am in, whatever state of defilement I am in. Anything that's a part of me that's not kaddish, that's not holy, that's not yet tar, making myself pure. And trying to work on myself and to grow and mitare myself. That always takes precedence. The Yerushalmi says that has to come first. Before anything else, I have to purify myself, I have to work on myself, I have to make sure I'm the best I can be. Always in a state of growth, always looking to be more, always be mitare myself. And we have to, that means emotional tahara, spiritual tahara, that comes first. And I want to tell you something that can't be something that we're afraid of and we're scared of. A lot of people, we get scared and we're afraid and, you know, I can't imagine myself being that type of person. And sometimes I'm very comfortable with who I am and I'm afraid how people will look at me if I work on myself more and if I grow more. We have to always be growing. And don't be scared. The goal is not perfection either. Ain sadik va'arat shlo yachta. Nobody doesn't sin. Nobody's perfect. The goal is always to be in a state of growth. The goal is always to be working on myself. And this past Sunday night and Monday, was my daughter's bas mitzvah. Yud ches adar, thank you, chaver. Very, very special. My second daughter's bas mitzvah, Liora Malka. She was born in Yud ches adar, and this year you celebrate an adar sheni. So her birthday's only a few days away from yours, Chalim. So it was her bas mitzvah. We didn't have the big celebration yet. Mirz Hashem, a week from tomorrow, we're having the bigger celebration with her chevron and with family. But we, the night of the bas mitzvah, we went out to eat as a family. And we brought some, I don't know, there was by my first daughter's bas mitzvah, Neshama, there was a God also told me, I don't remember who even, I couldn't remember who, but that I should, the night of the bas mitzvah, get a free fruit to make a shachiyano on the new fruits. And so we did that again. We made a shachianu and we went out to eat together to celebrate. And then I took my daughter to the oil to daven her first ma'ariv at the oil, and to be mekabel mitzvos ba'av or b'simcha. It was a very, very, very special night. A very, very special night. But while we were driving to the oil, and I was talking to her about what it is to be a bas mitzvah, I could tell she was like a little bit scared, a little bit hesitant, a little bit timid. I said, what's going on? What's wrong? And she verbalized to me like that it's a little bit, it feels like, and sensed like a lot of pressure and responsibility. And she didn't know if she was ready for that. She's like a little girl, you know? I mean, a wonderful girl, beautiful girl, but... And so I looked at her, and I said, Eliora Malka, I said, you have to understand, even though we're talking about this responsibility and this, that you're a bas mitzvah, and to keep Torah mitzvahs, again, just like I told you, don't worry, don't fear. The goal is not perfection. Nobody's perfect. All that Hashem wants from you is to try your best. That's all that Hashem wants from any of us. Just try your best. That any of us can do, that you could do. You don't have to be scared, and you have to be afraid that you're selling yourself short, not living up to what you're supposed to be, and because all you could do is try your best. Just try your best. And sometimes we're going to fall short, but we have to just continue to try our best. And that's what it is to be matar ourselves. To work on ourselves to purify, to always be trying our best. And that takes precedence, that comes first. So let's talk about tonight one way that we can work on ourselves. And specifically what I believe, based on a Torah from the Bnei Yisrael, a very deep Torah, what these particular days that we're in the middle of right now, We're in very special days. The days between Purim and Pesach are very big days of hachana for Pesach, preparation for Pesach. We're still trying to connect to Purim, as we spoke about last week. We're still trying to connect to Purim and bring Purim into the year. But we're preparing for Pesach. Shloshim Yom Kodim L'Chag, 30 days before Yontav, we prepare for the Yontav. So we're taking Purim into Pesach during these days, very, very special days. And I saw an incredible Torah. Purim, as we all know, is a big time to focus on destroying Amalek. Destroying Amalek. Right? Right before Purim, the Shabbos before Purim, was Parshas Zachar. I'm sure we were all there in Shul and heard Parshas Zachar, which is Zachar to remember to destroy Amalek. And the whole story of Purim is destroying Haman, who was a descendant of Amalek. All of Purim is destroying Amalek. And we're supposed to, the Bnei Yisrael explains, we're supposed to try to destroy Amalek in three different ways. B'dibor, with our mouth. B'machshava, with our mind. And B'maisa, with action. Which are really the three character traits of every person in all of our avodah. Dibor, machshava, maisa. Where do we see that by Amalek? In Parshas Zachar, it says Zachar. Zachar, you have to remember B'dibor, with your mouth. That's why we had to hear, or, you know, really, we're supposed to be the one saying it. Shomei HaKona, we hear the Baal Korei saying, Zachar, Sasher Salcha Amalek. So we have to, with our mouth, say, I'm going to destroy Amalek. But then there's also a Lashon, Lo Tishkach, do not forget. We just said Zachar, remember, what do you mean Lo Tishkach? Zachar means with your mouth, you have to verbalize, I'm going to destroy Amalek. Lo Tishkach means with your mind, B'machshava, I have to destroy Amalek. And it says Timcha, you have to destroy, you have to physically destroy Amalek. That's action. So we're supposed to be destroying Amalek in our mind, in our mouth, and through our actions. Zachar, Atishkach, Lotishkach, Timcha. So listen to this, you ready? Incredible. Incredible. How many hours are there during these 30 days between Purim and Pesach? 30 days, 24 hours a day. Let's see who's quick. No, I'm not giving it away. It helps you over there like that, Leon? No. Hey, like someone could sneak a phone under the table or something, you know? Ah, Eva, thank you. 720. 30 times 24. We'll teach you how to do math, girls. You ready? If you do 30 times 24, just do 30 times 20 is 600, right? That's right, that one's easy. 30, and then 4 times 30 is 120. 600 plus 120 is 720. Good? Okay, anyways, fine. For another time. Also good, also good, also good. Okay, 720. 720. There are 720 hours during these days between Purim and Pesach. 30 days between Purim and Pesach, 720 hours. You ready? This is incredible. What's the gematria Amalek? I won't wait for you this time so we could move a little bit. Amalek. Well, what do you say? You got her? No, nice try. That'll be cute. That'll be cute. Amalek is exactly gematria 240. Amalek's gematria 240. But we just said a moment ago, we have to destroy Amalek in three different ways. With our mouth, with our mind, and with our action. So Amalek's gematria 240, but it's 240 in three different ways we have to destroy him. So what's 240 times 3? 720. There are 720 hours during these 30 days between Purim and Pesach. Can I get Amalek that has to, it's just 240 that has to be destroyed with our mouth, with our mind, and with our actions? 3 times 240, 3 times Amalek. That's these days that we're in. Okay, that's really cool and incredible. And that alone is worth sharing Torah. That's cool and incredible because helps us fall in love with Torah and see the emes in Torah. But what does that mean to us? What does it mean to us? What does it mean to us to destroy Amalek? What does it mean to us in our mouth, in our hearts, in our minds, in our actions, to destroy Amalek? Last time I checked, we don't even know who Amalek is, right? So, and there's such an emphasis. Destroy Amalek. And especially during these days, destroying Amalek. What does it mean? What does it mean after destroy Amalek? The only, all year long, the only laning that we have to listen to, there are women, and I'm not even blaming them, Baruch Hashem, they have a lot of chrayas in the home, with children, with the home, whatever, that never come to shul, that don't go to shul, and again, I don't mean that in a negative way, it could be Baruch Hashem, they're doing beautiful things and they're choosing to do what's right. One time a year they'll come to shul, right? Zachar, everybody has to hear Zachar. So they'll come at the end of a second laning or by mincha time. Zachar, no one's going to miss Zachar. One, you ever think about it? The only laning we have to hear all year, destroy Amalek. Like really? Aseret Dibros, stay at home. It's okay. Don't worry if you missed Aseret Dibros. Shema Yisrael Shem Elkeinu Shem Echad. All right. Don't worry if you say it. You don't have to hear it from a Torah. Shabbat Shira, Az Yashir. Very beautiful lanings. We have beautiful mitzvahs. We have beautiful storylines. The only one that, yeah, is a chiv deraisa, according to everybody, almost. Zachar, to remember to destroy Amalek, what does it even mean in my life? If anyone in this room ever destroyed Amalek? Are we ever going to even destroy Amalek? And this, we're saying now, Lefid ben Esasra, with this really cool Torah, that's our avodah during these days. And I don't even know what it means. Like, what does it mean? I'm going to share with you a thought that I was thinking. It's based on a famous idea. But to answer this question, we said Amalek is Gematria 240. 240 is also exactly Gematria Safek. Safek. Safek means doubt. Doubt. You see, what did Amalek do? What is the essence of who Amalek is? Because we don't know physically who Amalek is, but the koach of Amalek, the strength of Amalek, the temperament of Amalek, what Amalek means in our life, in our heart, in our mind, that we could connect to. And if Amalek Gematria 240 is Suffolk, that tells me Amalek instills Suffolk within my life, instills doubt within my life. When we left Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, there was complete clarity of oneness in the world and oneness with Hashem. Right? Think about it. You know what that must have been? To be alive and present to watch the 10 makos, like see, literally, mamish, every mak after mak, hell with fire in it, and frogs jumping everywhere, and you name it, right? Chayshech. Complete darkness, thick darkness, but exactly how it was said, at the exact time that it was said, nisim gluyim, and then culmination, kriyas yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, like that must have been really awesome. And you know what, it was more than just awesome, is re'iyah, was seeing the Rabbanu Shalom begiloy in the most revealed way of all of history. Of all of history. And the whole world, Chazal teach us, saw Kriyas Yamsa. The whole world, waters throughout the world split. And saw Yad Hashem, saw the hand of God in the most revealed way. It was so clear that the Ribbono Shel Olam by my side. It was so clear that the Ribbono Shel Olam running the world, orchestrating everything in this world. We all knew it, the whole world. Incredible clarity in life. Because when you have that clarity, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is by your side, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is orchestrating the world, it's all good. I could deal with, there's no more confusion, there's no more doubt in anything. What doubt? And there's nothing more difficult in life than doubt. When I'm dealing with suffix in my life, when I'm in doubt, I'm destroyed. I don't even know, when I have to make a decision, I don't know how to make a decision, I'm frozen from doubt, from suffix. And when something happens in my life and I don't understand why it's happening, besuffix, I'm in doubt, I'm destroyed, I'm down and out. Maybe down and out is doubt, you know, sounds very similar. Could be. Suffolk, doubt, destructive. But the moment I know that Hashem is by my side, I have that behirus, that aura, that light, that the Rabboni Shalom is running the world, the Rabboni Shalom is by my side, all the doubt in the world washes away. It's all good. And even if I don't fully understand, I know the Rabboni Shalom is by my side, it's all good. You know, it's like Lamashal, I'll give you Lamashal, right? When we all learned to ride a bike many years ago. I don't know, maybe some of us don't know how to ride a bike, but I assume most of us learned how to ride a bike. Really? Could someone please teach Rebecca how to ride a bike?
Chloe doesn't need
to. Also not Chloe.
She's 21, I'm only Only Tommy.
For your birthday, maybe you learn how to ride the bike. So I'm going to take you to the boardwalk tomorrow. Go to the boardwalk. Hold. Amanda, you're going to take care of her? Teach her to ride a bike. It's fun. It's nice. Good exercise. It's very... Okay, anyways. Lemaisa, when you learn how to ride a bike, when most of us learned how to ride a bike when we were younger, and we were probably 4, 5, 6 years old. Right? 4, 5, 6 years old. So it could be very scary. As a little kid, it's something, as adults probably even more scary, but as a little kid, it's very scary because what are you scared of? You're scared of falling and getting hurt. But think about it for a moment. That is, you're scared of some level of suffix. You're in doubt whether you're going to be able to ride or not. You're in doubt whether you're going to stay up. You're in doubt and you're confused and you're afraid of what can happen if you don't stay up. It's suffix. What brings you menucha? What brings you a calm that you're willing to even do it as a child? There's only one thing that brings you the menucha and calm. Each and every one of us. You know what it is? It's that our father stood right by our side. And our father was holding the back of our bike. And our father, even when he let go, was running right next to us. So that we knew if we're going to tumble and fall a little bit, he'll be there to catch us. And when our father was right there, I'm willing to try, I'm willing to take, because I know, I have no more doubt. I know I'm going to be okay. Because even if I fall, my father's right there holding on to me. So too, Chevra. When we have the Eibishter by our side, it's true we might fall, and it's true we might have difficulties, and it's true, but the suffix washes away. Because I know the Rabbonus is by my side, I know it's all good because I have Hashem in my life. So when we left Mitzrayim, we left with such clarity, there's no sveikos, there's no doubt. Amalek is the one nation in the whole world that's willing to come and fight with us and say they don't believe in it and they don't see God. Who else would fight? Who would fight against God? Only someone who doesn't live with that clarity. Amalek comes in the only nation that right after we leave Mitzrayim is starting up with us. Meaning what? They instilled again sveikos. They instilled lack of clarity, lack of knowing Hashem is in the world and running the world. They brought suffix back. They instill suffix into our minds, into our heart. And once I have that suffix, life can be crippling. We've all gone through it. When we're there's nothing worse in life when I'm suffix. So we have to destroy Amalek. And specifically during these days, we have to destroy Amalek with our mouth, with our hearts, with our minds, in our actions, in every way. The 720 hours of this month, to destroy Amalek. What did we mean to destroy Amalek? Destroy any doubt from my life. Any doubt. Knowing Hashem is by my side and whatever's going on is good. I have no doubt, it's good. Hashem's just is running along me. Even when it seems like I'm falling, He's going to catch me. It's going to be okay. Hashem is by my heart, by my side, in my mind. He's there. And then, as the line explains, even though there's no big source for this line in Chazal, but it's said over in so many Svarim, Ein simcha katara sveikos. There's no greater simcha than doing away with doubt. In other words, no greater simcha than destroying Amalek. Getting rid of Amalek. That means I'm one with Hashem. And that, of all the parashas in all of Torah, once a year, well, you know what Hashem wants us to listen to? That. Of all the parashas, that's more important than anything else. Get rid of any doubt in your life. I'm by your side. Know that. With that, you're going to be good. With that, you're going to have simcha. So you say, but still, Rebbe, there are times in my life I have to make decisions. So I could be makabel anything going on in my life with Hashem by my side. It's still hard. Sometimes I'm in doubt what decision to make, and it's a suffix. So that's when we still have. You have to think to yourself, you know the best way to answer? What do you deeply, really believe the Rabbanu Shalom wants from you? What is Ratzon Hashem? If you have the Rabbanu Shalom and you think about what is Ratzon Hashem, it's all good. That's how we have to start thinking. What would Hashem want from me? And if you're not so clear, that's why you have Rebbeim and people in your life that you could talk to about that. To help you find clarity. And once you believe in that clarity, it's all good. Our life has to be Ratzon Hashem. What is Ratzon? You know, I'll tell you, Lahavdil, just understand Ratzon Hashem. We'll go off this for a moment, a little tangent. You have Talmidim. This is not a mashal shaykh. You'll understand the mashal, even though it's not Baruch Hashem on a practical level, not shaykh to anyone here. But I've been asked over the years by people, you know, what's so bad about watching TV on Shabbos? Meaning, someone who's holding, not going to turn it on, be either left on from before Shabbos, on a timer, our maid will turn it on, whatever it is. I'm not going to turn it on. That I understand you're not allowed to do. We're not going to go there. Unfortunately, sadly, there are many this day and age with phones and things that alone it needs chizik. But let's say someone who's halacha, letter of the law, I'm going to keep. I understand. I'm shomer Shabbos. I understand. But what's so wrong watching this past little Shabbos or those holding big college basketball games? When March Madness is the basketball tournament, there were big games this past Friday night, but last night, Lel Shabbos Kodesh. So what's the Rebbe, what's so wrong if I'm not going to touch it, I'm not going to turn it on, keeping Shabbos, going to Shul, go to Suda, and then I'm just going to watch the game. Show me, anywhere in this book it says don't watch a game on Shabbos? Anywhere? Anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch says don't watch a game on Shabbos? Anywhere? Like where? Okay, it's not going to say it explicitly, there are no TVs. Where is even the source? What malacha would it be? What malacha would it be? So I'm going to tell you the answer that I often give. I say, let me ask you a question. You have a halachic shayla. Who do you ask your halachic shayla to? He says, what do you mean? You. He's my Rebbe. That's what I'm asking you. Good. What do you think happens? Sometimes I'm asked questions, and I'm not sure the answer. So what do you think I do? I say, I go to my Rebbe. I have Rebbe also. This past Erev Shabbos, someone called with a very intricate halachic Hilchos Shabbos question. I thought something, but I wasn't 100% sure. I wanted to make sure. And I called a big Talmud Chacham to make sure that what I was saying was MS, was Maskin Baruch Hashem, was good. But I don't know, if I'm not sure, I don't just make up halach. I have my Rebbeim. And sometimes I'll call my Rebbeim. And my Rebbeim, Baruch Hashem, are very special people, full of an even, full of humility. And once in a while, sometimes I'll ask them a shayla, it's a very difficult shayla. They'll say, let me get back to you. They want to speak to their Rebbeim. And they want to go to their Rebbeim. And then you get, let's say, who's the top? Who's the last say? Echeis, Rav Chaim Knievsky, Rav Herschel Schechter in our world, a little bit more maybe. Right? You have people that are like the top. The top, mamish. No, it's not the top. It's much higher than that. You know who's much higher than Rav Schechter, Rav Chaim Knievsky, whoever the Eibishter himself, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Who knows the proper halacha more than anyone else in the world? Who knows the proper way to live our life more than anything else in the world? The Eibishter, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Right? That's the top gadol pesik in the world. So I say, mamish, sometimes in life, you don't have to come to me. And I don't have to go to my Rebbe. He doesn't have to go to his Rebbe. Sometimes just stop for a moment. And you say to yourself, before you ask any... What's Ratzon Hashem? What would the Ribbono Shel Olam want in this moment? Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Matan of Shabbos. He gave us this beautiful Ruchnias day, full of halacha and full of chizik and full of his... Do you think for one moment the Ribbono Shel Olam would want you watching TV on Shabbos? That's why he gave you Shabbos? Forget about letter of the law or anything. Forget about any of that. Do you think that's Ratzon Hashem? Answer. Vadanish. Definitely not. No question. Finish. That's your psak. What do you need more than that? What do you need anything else? And so that mamish, when you're living with Hashem, there's no suffix. You stop, you think, what's Ratzon Hashem? Now sometimes you're not 100% sure, Baruch Hashem, that's why you do go to Rabbeim and to people who you feel have more of a connection and understanding of what Hashem wants from us. And that's why we reach out. But then with the Ribbono Shel Olam by my side, it clears up Sveikos. And if there's no Sveikos, I'm always going to be besimcha. Ein simcha katar Sveikos. That's destroying Amalek, chevra. That's what these days are here for. That's why, what was it? And that starts Purim. Because Purim was when, even though we went through the whole storyline of Purim, and everything seemed mamish, like one big mess, and tragedy after tragedy seems to be occurring, and there's a gzeira that we're going to be destroyed, and Esther Amalka, this beautiful Jewish girl, is being raped by a Jewish king. Everything seems like the whole world upside down. Seems like one big suffix. And in the end, what do we find out? Eibishter was taking care of us the whole time. Not just were we saved. We could look back and see how every little thing was orchestrated from the Ribbono Shel Olam. From the very beginning. Mamish, the very beginning of the story when Vashti is killed. It's only so Esther could become queen to save us even before we had the Gezerah to be destroyed. And we learn from that and see, wait, Hashem's always by our side. Every moment. That's destroying Amalek. No more Suffolk. No more doubt. No more Amalek, Gematria, Suffolk. Get it out of my life. I have no doubts. I have no doubts. And that's what the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara tries to destroy us that we should only have doubts. The Yetzer Hara creates images that things are chashuv and important, even though they're completely meaningless in our life, and creates doubts that we think this is okay and this is what we should be doing. Right? What is the Yetzer Hara? But the Gemara in Brachos that says Chametz is compared to the Yetzer Hara. Rashi explains it that way, basically. The source of Issa is the Yetzer Hara. We had this a little this past Thursday night, I don't know. Not in our shir, in the guy's shir. Get a lot of Harif Musa in that shir if you want to hear. That was a good one. But anyways, what is Chametz? Chametz is exactly matzah. Think about it. I mean, the bare bones of Chametz. You have flour and water. Matzah, flour, water, Chametz. It's just whether it waited till after 18 minutes to rise. Same exact ingredients, same exact chemical makeup. But one is this bare bones, very little cracker that looks pretty, lechem oni, bread of the impoverished. And one, oh, it's fluffed up, beautiful challah. Wow, it looks enticing and incredible, right? So the Gemara and Brachos is telling us the source of Issa is our Yetzer Hara. What I mean? The Yetzer Hara takes things that are really nothing and makes it look exciting, makes it look unbelievable. That's what the Yetzer Hara does to us. But it's all creating confusion in our mind. Sveikos, what's important, what's not important? We're all confused. We have to destroy the Yetzer Hara and destroy. That's Amalek. That confusion, that suffix, doubt. That's why, what do we do to get rid of the Chametz, the Yetzer Hara, and the Amalek? We take a candle. We have to, by Bedigas Chametz, you have to have a candle. A candle's aura is light. Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah, our Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is our light, our guiding light that sees through all the darkness and lets us understand what's emes in our life. No more sveikos, no more doubt. Stop confusing yourselves. Just be besimcha, know what's emes based on what's best from us from the Ribbono Shel Olam. In fact, the night of Bedikas Chametz, the night of the 14th, Erev Pesach, the Gemara calls it Oral Arbasar. Strangely, there's many dapim of Gemara and Pesachim that go through why it uses such a concept of Or. It's talking about the night of the 14th, it should be Lel Arbasar. It should be Lel. Why Oral Arbasar? It's a very strange language. Maybe it's teaching us, because the whole night of getting rid of our Chametz, which is getting rid of the Yetzer Hara, which is getting rid of Amalek, the culmination at the end of the 30 days, these 720 hours, has to be with awe, has to be with clarity. It has to be with clarity. And that clarity is oneness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is knowing that Hashem is by our side always. And that's how I destroy Amalek and I have no suffix in my life. And that's how I metahar myself. I purify myself in every way during these very, very special days. Tell you a deep gematria, tameh, which none of us want to be tameh, right? We're being metar ourselves from a state of tumah. Tumah is a state of physical, emotional, spiritual defilement and lowliness. Tameh, if you add up the gematria, b'miloy. Miloy means, we've said this before, you take the letter and the full letter, how you pronounce it. Meaning, so aleph is not aleph, but aleph lamed pei, right? That's how you would pronounce it. Aleph, beis is beis, yud tuf. That's the entirety of the letter. Which shows its depth as well, its insight, its pnimius. So tes, tame is tes, mem, aleph. Tes is tes, yud, tof. That's how you spell out tes. Mem is mem, mem. And aleph is aleph, lam, pei. If you add up all those letters with the koilo, you could add one, is 600 and... No, maybe you add them even without the koilo, I forget now, but 610. 610. Let's do it quickly, make sure. Make sure we're saying correctly, we don't want to say... Mem Aleph 111 80. Yeah, exactly 610. Oh. 610. If you take the Miloy 610, but with the Koyla 611. So Tame with the Miloy, if you add up all the letters with plus one, which is the Koyla 611, exactly Gematra Torah. Torah is 611. Meaning what? With Torah, the light of Torah being connected, which is being connected to Hashem, I do away. That's how I combat any tumah in my life, and I'm tar and I'm pure. And that's each and every one of our avodas, is to be in a state of purity, which we're saying now, that state of purity is a state of clarity. Clarity can negate any sveikos, any doubt, to really, truly, deeply be one with Hashem. And that's what all of us are looking for in all the areas of our life. When it comes to the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with our relationship with our parents, our relationship, b'shatayim eslachas, as we're building relationship and dating and Bezer Hashem, looking towards that ultimate simcha, in that road there's often so much doubt. We have to just be, if we're with Hashem by our side, every single moment, and that's how you make your decision, that's how you're thinking, you know and you believe Hashem is by your side, it's all going to be good. So there's no suffix, there's no doubt. You move on, you date. If it's good, great. Mazel tov. If it's not, you decide based on the formula we're giving tonight, and besimcha, the next person will be better. There's no need to be in that state of confusion. There's no need to be in the state of craziness that many of us go through because of the sveikos of our life. But if I'm one with Hashem, I'm walking with Hashem every moment, there is no suffix, there is no doubt. And if there's no doubt, I'm besimcha always. Ain't simcha kadar sveikos. Hashem runs the world and He knows what's happening, and we have to believe in that. We have to know that. You know, in dating, it's like that story, I'm sure a lot of us were there, but Rapina gave a share, it was Chaya Sara time, we spoke about dating. And I said over the story, but I think about the story a lot when I deal in Shiduchim and going through, because a lot of the sveikos of this time in our lives, when I had it, was this Talmud of mine who, some of you have heard this for sure, but it's worth the Chazara, who was dating a young woman, they went out in maybe 5-6 days, he thought it was incredible, going great. And she ended it. And he was very down and very, very, very upset. He was very upset. He was very upset. He really thought, and he usually have a good feel of this. He called me Thursday night. He was in the Yisrael at the time in Baltimore. He called me Thursday night. And I gave him chizik, whatever chizik I could give him. And that Friday night, the Rebbe, Rabbi Spiegel, where I davened, he gave over a Torah. It was Parshas Chayei Sara. And there, Eliezer davens when he's looking to find a wife for Yitzchak. He wants to say, "Im etzliach darcho olo." If I'll be successful, olo or not. And he asks, "Why does the Torah say olo or not? You want to be if I'll be successful. Obviously, the other option is or not. You don't have to say that. I want to see if I'll be successful. Obviously, if I'm not successful, it's olo. You know, and every word in Torah is precious. So the Rebbe said, when it comes to shiduchim, if you're matzliach and you end up together, mazel tov. Olo also mazel tov." That means that person wasn't the best for you and you have someone better waiting for you. Olo is also a mazel tov. So I called this guy up and after Matzah Shabbos, I told him over the Torah, I said, "This Torah is for you. It's the olo of your life. Mazel tov, it's good, you'll see." What ended up happening? That young woman also thought it was going pretty well, but couldn't continue on with him because thought he's perfect for her best friend. And she called Rebbe Berkowitz, the Shadchan in Eretz Yisrael, and set him up with her best friend, and today they're happily married with 4 or 5 kids, Baruch Hashem. So what he was all, he thought he had sveikos, he was all confused, he's calling me down and out. If he was able at that moment, probably, I'm not judging him, he's a wonderful person. But if he was, but like, if you live with Hashem, you say, okay, call Madhav Rahman Tav, it's going to be good. And Mamishi, here, Baruch Hashem, we're able to see it. He would take that breakup every day of his life from that point on. It was the best thing that ever happened to him, that this girl ended it with him. He ended up with his Eish Yischayel. And that was Hashem. Sometimes we see it clearly, sometimes we don't see it clearly. But with Amunah, with clarity, that we know Hashem's by our side, I destroy Amalek. I have no suffix. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. In Chevra, we're towards the end of Adar. Towards the end of Adar, we're already tonight. What's Chavdalad already, right? Tonight's already Chavdalad. Chavdalad Adar Sheni. We're in Mevarch and Chodesh Nisan. We have a few more days of Adar. And Adar Simcha, Mishenichlas Adam Abim Simcha. And tonight we said, Ain Simcha Katar Sveikos. So let's each and every one of us commit to ourselves during these days. I'm going to work. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be in a state of time. We just have Parshas Parah means I have to purify. I have to grow. But in what way? Specifically, continue to destroy Amalek. But what Amalek? The Amalek of Suffolk. And the minute I start to think a little bit Sveikos, say, no, the Ribbono Shel Olam is by my side. It's good. I have to destroy Amalek and say it to myself. Bedibur, say Hashem is by my side. There's no sveikos. in my mind, I have to think, Hashem, if I don't know how to make a decision, and I can't do it on my own, I don't know Ratzon Hashem, I'll call someone. There are people in this world to help, don't be afraid. And in my action, the way I walk around, the way I interact with people, b'simcha, because I'm good. What a schus we have the Rabbonu Shalom by our side. You know, what incredible that is. I heard tonight from Rav Aaron Bina, the Rashiva in Tivarye. He said, the Baal Shem Tov once said, that, you know, by the Umas Ha'olam, by the other nations, they don't understand what it is to be a Yid. They can't understand what it is to be a Yid. They don't understand the Kedusha, the holiness, the Chashivas, what it is to be a Yid, a Ben Melech, a Bas Melech. His grandson said to him, Zaydi, Halavai, only the Umas Ha'olam don't understand what it is to be a Yid. The Yidin themselves don't understand what it is to be a Yid. The Yidin themselves don't understand what it is to be a Yid. If we deeply lived and understood what it is to be a Yid, which means the Rabbeinu Shalom is by my side every moment, the Rabbeinu Shalom loves me, the Rabbeinu Shalom is my Tatin Himmel, the Rabbeinu Shalom is walking with me, the Rabbeinu Shalom is watching over me, the Rabbeinu Shalom, yes, sometimes I'm learning to ride a bike, but he's running by my side. And he's going to catch me. And it's all going to end good. Not good, the best. If we understood it, all simcha, no suffix, destruction of Amalek. So Mir Tashem, we should be zoyecha these last few days of Adar, as we prepare for the Heilige Yantav, month of Nisan and Yantav of Pesach, that we want to walk into Pesach with that Chag Emunah, with that Emunah that Hashem is by my side. I have no sveikos, I have no doubt, to live a life of simcha and bracha every single moment of our life. We should have a Heilige, beautiful week, and it was a schus.